Numbers chapter 22. We've already learned so much from Balaam. How he, in the beginning of the chapter, was told by God clearly, don't go, don't curse. And then last week, he went anyway, went back and said, I'm going to see what more God wants to say to me. And that angered God. As we see here in verse 22, God's anger was kindled because he went. So God's anger was kindled because, remember, he got up and he got ready and said, let's go. When God said, it's okay if you go, if they come to you in the morning and ask you to go, which they didn't do, he just took it from God. Well, that's good enough. I'm going to go. And that angered God, as we see here in verse 22. And the Bible says, finishing on from last week, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood on a path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with his staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in my hand, for now would I kill thee. And the ass said unto Balaam, am not I thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, nay. And the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. So that's our title, Thy Way is Perverse. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for your will in our hearts through your word, that you would teach us and grow us through it, that the Holy Spirit would be in control of all that's said, and Lord, that lives would be changed. May we learn tonight from Balaam, and we are grateful for this opportunity, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. The angel of the Lord, that's a bit of an interesting one, isn't it? Was it Cash that asked the question in Sunday school about the angel of the Lord? There are times when it looks like the angel of the Lord, not an angel of the Lord, but the angel of the Lord is a picture, or is Jesus. And we'll look at that in a moment. But first, let's never forget there are angels. Amen? And we don't get to see them, but they are there, and they are real. And they are probably more part of our lives than we'll realize till we get to heaven. And let's look just quickly at some scriptures on it. Psalms 34:7, we'll start there and see. We don't know how many there are because the Bible says there's an innumerable company of angels in the book of Hebrews, which means there's a lot. Amen. But notice Psalms 34 and verse 7, talking about angels tonight. The Bible says, the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them. So here we're told that the angel of the Lord delivers those who fear God. Psalm 91:11, we'll see another one. Psalm 91 and verse 11 says, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. And then Mark 1:13. This has always been a very interesting one. Mark chapter 1, verse 13. It says, and he was there in the wilderness. Actually, that can't be right. Oh, well. Hate it when I do that. There is a verse that says that the children have angels. So if anybody can find it, let me know. But let's go to Hebrews 1:14. The verse I was looking for in the Gospels was about Jesus saying that they're angels, talking about children. Hebrews 1:14. I know this one's right. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who shall be heirs of salvation? So we see that angels are a part of our lives that we don't get to see with our eyes. We talked about safety on the roads. We'll get to heaven and we'll be shocked, I'm sure. The angel just pushed that car just that little bit. Are they powerful enough? Of course they are. We have seen an angel in the Old Testament killing 185,000 people in one night. They're very powerful. They are God's servants. And they minister to us, which is such a blessing. Did anybody find the verse about children and angels? Okay. Wow. How did I get Mark 1:13? I have no idea. Matthew 18:10. Thank you, Christine. Take heed that you despise, yep, that not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels, that's the verse I was looking for, do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. So notice he says, he's talking here about children, their angels. So what does that mean? I guess we'll find out when we get to heaven, amen? Just wanted to point out that angels are a part of life for us. That's that spiritual realm that God doesn't allow us to see with our physical eyes, but it is real. And it is out there, just like Satan's real, just like his helpers are real, the devil's. There's a world out there that we can't see, which is why we've got to stay on our knees. So the angel of the Lord looks like many times is Jesus. Let's look at Exodus 3 at the burning bush. Just quickly, Exodus chapter 3 and verse 2. So we're all familiar with this passage here where the angel of the Lord met Moses. So notice verse 2. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. But when the Lord, and that's Jehovah, saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush. And he said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And then at the end, for he was afraid to look upon God. But it starts off saying the angel of the Lord appeared to him. So these are what we would probably call an Old Testament theophany, an Old Testament appearance of Jesus Christ. And that's probably who this is in the Balaam story as well. The angel of the Lord. So, isn't it something that Balaam claims to be a prophet? And Old Testament prophets were able to see things that others couldn't see. And here God's going to teach him a lesson by allowing an ass to see things that Balaam can't see. He's going to teach him a lesson with an ass. And if you go to 2 Peter 2:16, this is God speaking, not me. This is God. God made the ass. Amen. That's part of his creation. And it says, but he was rebuked, talking about Balaam, for his iniquity, the dumb ass speaking with man's voice. So God here refers to the ass as the dumb ass. Isn't that something? God made the ass. And he made him for man, right? And, you know, God's creation, they just do what God told them to do, don't they? Except man, of course. We're the disobedient ones. But asses do what they were designed to do, which is allow man to ride on them or them carry things on their back. And God allowed this ass to all of a sudden have intelligence and to speak to Balaam and said, I've been faithful to you my whole life. And now you beat me and with a stick and curse at me? In other words, I've only done what I was supposed to do as an ass. But God allowed this ass to see the angel there in verse 23 with his sword drawn. Now, of course, the angel of the Lord could have killed Balaam at any time. So understand, this whole thing is a story to teach Balaam and us a lesson. God chose to do it this way. He could have just killed him right there on the spot. But instead, he allowed the ass to teach him a lesson. Three times he stood in the way. The ass was allowed to see the angel. and took him out of the way, crushed his foot, fell on him, and so forth. You know, many times we need to stop and think, this is a very painful circumstance. Is God trying to teach me something? Rather than getting angry like Balaam did at the ass, he should have stopped and said, am I supposed to learn something here? And we need to do the same. When trials come, we need to stop and say, what's God trying to teach me? What's he trying to do in my life through this painful circumstance? But sadly, he did not do that. But it says there that the dumb ass was to teach him a lesson, and he did. So, verse 31, then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam after cursing and threatening to beat his ass. And he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way and his sword drawn. And he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. Another reason why it most likely has to be Jesus, because we see in other places in scriptures where angels never allowed man to bow down or worship them. In Revelation, when John went to heaven and other places, they always said, see thou do it not. But this particular angel of the Lord allowed Balaam to fall down and worship him. But our key verse tonight is verse 32. The angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. Thy way is perverse. So that verse we read in 2 Peter 2:16, I'm going to read it again. Was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. Those are God's words. The madness of Balaam. God's calling Balaam mad. Not as in angry, but as in crazy. The madness of the prophet. Why? What's the madness? He wanted that money that bad, which we've already seen in the scriptures. He wanted the wages of unrighteousness. That he kept pushing to get the opportunity, to get the reward that Balak was offering. And that is why God refers to him as mad. We see a slight glimmer of spirituality here in verses 33 and 34. Because he answers the angel and says, I turned away from these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now I had slain thee and saved her life. Sorry, the angel says this. And Balaam said, I have sinned. Well, that's always the proper response. Amen? I've sinned. Very powerful words. So maybe Balaam got a little bit right with God here. He said, if it displeased thee, I will get me back again. So he's showing some true repentance, because he's willing to change his direction and say, if you want me to, I'll go back, Lord. And of course, now the Lord is going to teach Balaam and Balak and Israel and us a lesson by allowing Balaam to go. He's been corrected by the ass. His madness has been corrected. And so, verse 35, the angel of the Lord said, go with the men. But only the word that I shall speak unto thee, thou shalt speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. In other words, Balaam, I'm going to work it out my way. I'm God. And whatever words I give you, those are the words you're going to speak. Now, we're going to see later, Balaam does go to God for the words, but the last time he doesn't. He tries to curse Israel on his own, without consulting God. And God overrides anyway. But now we know Balaam's heart, don't we? His heart is he wants that money. And he's going to do whatever it takes to try to get his hands on it, which he never did, because he never cursed them. But God's going to work it out, despite our rebellious spirit. God's going to work it out. And that's what he says. You're only going to speak what I tell you to speak. So go, and I'll put the words in your mouth. So Balaam went. Verse 36. When Balak heard that Balaam was come, he went out to meet him unto a city of Moab, which is in the border of Arnon, which is the utmost coast. And Balak said unto Balaam, did I not earnestly send unto thee to call thee? Wherefore camest thou not unto me? Am I not able indeed to promote thee to honor? And Balaam said, again, sounding spiritual, lo, I am come unto thee. Have I now any power at all to say anything? The word that God putteth in my mouth, that shall I speak. Shouldn't God's word always be the final say, like we talked about in Sunday school? Isn't that our final authority? Amen. And it should always be our final authority. But these are just words, because Balaam's going to try to override all of this later on. And he's already gone beyond God's word, which is what made God angry in the first place. And that was, don't go, don't curse. That was pretty clear, wasn't it? So Balaam went with Balak, verse 39, and they came unto this place with the long name. And Balak offered oxen and sheep and sent to Balaam and to the princes that were with him. And it came to pass on the morrow that Balak took Balaam and brought him unto the high places, of Baal. Doesn't sound like a very appropriate place for a prophet of God to be. The places of Baal. Who's Baal? Well, over in chapter 23, verse 1, it says that there were altars, which we'll look at this next week. Build me here 7 altars. To who? Not to God. This is the high place of Baal. Balak's going to build 7 altars to Baal, not God, not Jehovah. And Baal this is the first mention of Baal in the scriptures. We can go to 1 Kings 18 and see a little bit more about who Baal is. But we all know who he is, don't we? It's just another name for the devil. 1 Kings 18. And most of you are familiar with this story about Elijah and the prophets. Oh, we don't need to read the whole thing. Verse 21, Elijah came unto all the people. How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered not a word. And we know what happened about the offering, and then Elijah killed the prophets of Baal and so forth. What's the New Testament equivalent? Let's look at Luke 11. So we already know that this is not going to go well for Balaam, because he's going to try to do God's work in the high places of Baal. That's not going to happen, is it? Luke 11, verse 15. But some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And others tempting him sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. So there Jesus himself changed it from Beelzebub to Satan. So we don't have to wonder who Beelzebub represents. That's, again, the New Testament equivalent of the Old Testament, Baal. So the high places of Satan is where Balaam is going to attempt to do God's work. So what did God say to him? Thy way is perverse before me. Balaam, my anger has been kindled because you disobeyed my command already. I said, don't go, don't curse. You chose to go anyway, and therefore, verse 32, thy way is perverse. Is it easy to get off track? Yes, the devil, Baal, Beelzebub, is going to try to knock us off track. We have to seek his face to know the way to go. Amen? Because he's going to try to get us to go the Balaam way. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean on thy understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Amen? There's multiple paths that we can take. Balaam took the wrong one, and that's what made his way perverse. We want God's path. We want God's direction. We want God's way. So don't let Beelzebub trick you into taking the wrong path. Otherwise, our way will be perverse, and then God will have to send something to teach us a lesson. Probably not a talking ass, but something to teach us. And in this case, imagine afterward, Balaam. It's like, was I really talking to my ass, to my donkey? Was I really talking? I was. Why was I answering his questions? He was mad. He wanted that money. And that made his way perverse. So let's always check our path, amen, that we're on God's path. Otherwise, we might end up in a perverse way, and then God's going to have to deal with us. We don't want that. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you again for this third lesson from the life of Balaam. I pray we'll learn these lessons. I pray we'll check ourselves constantly, Lord, that we are seeking your face, seeking your path, and Lord, not Satan's path. He's going to offer many to us. I pray we would not listen, but we would stay in your word, stay on our knees, and stay on the path that you want us to be on. That our way would not be perverse. We thank you for speaking to our hearts. We love you so much. In Jesus' name.